KXRN LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock. It's a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And as we do each and every Wednesday, we are delighted to have Laureen Gilbert, the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, in for the Wealthwise moment. A very good morning to you, Laureen.
Good morning. Good to be here, Ed.
It's great to have you this morning. I wake up this morning to the news that prices has soared by 9.1% in June compared to a year ago. And we've been talking about inflation for the last several weeks here. Is that number shocking to you?
Well, it did beat expectations, which were around 1.1% increase, and it was a 1.3% increase. So it's discouraging that even what had been expected, this number is exceeding that. Now, if we look at the data and what's behind the headline number, it still included gas prices that were still on the rise. So we did expect, so we expected this number to go up. Right. Everybody expected the number to go up because the point that we were looking at, gas prices were still going up. However, the lagging part of it, which we also expected, which is shelter, rents are going up. And that is a number that's going to continue. So while the gas prices and commodity prices have started to come down, and that will help the inflation number start to come down, we know that the shelter prices are still going up. And you know, the question is that going to be the new part of the inflation number that keeps things more persistent?
Okay. And explain to me core inflation and annual core inflation, which strips out the volatile food and energy prices. Explain to me, and that's gone down. So that's substantially good?
Yeah. I mean, in other words, you know, we do think that when it comes to core inflation, the numbers are going to start going down. And when we look at the five-year break-even number that the markets are pricing in, the five-year break-even number for inflation has come way down. It's actually 2.48%. So that's amazing. That's great that that number is coming down, because that tells us, the markets are telling us that that number is coming down. So while consumers are worried and, you know, stretched and frustrated, and everybody's talking about, I was just listening to somebody talk about their grocery bill the other day and saying, hey, I used to go into Trader Joe's and my bag would cost, you know, I'd buy two bags and I could get out of there for $75. And she said, you know, this is just an anecdotal example here, but her two bags are now costing her $150. Now that would suggest 100% increase, right? But now that's not really happening. We're not seeing 100% increase. So I don't know what's in those two bags, but certainly everybody's feeling it, right, Ed? Like when I go to the grocery store, I feel it. When you're out and about, people are talking about it, you're seeing it. But when we look out further, we do see that it's going to come down. It is really painful right now for the consumer.
I'm going to ask you the impossible question in a second, right after I give you my anecdotal Trader Joe's information here, in that I go to Trader Joe's all the time for, I love their frozen salmon, and forever that I could, you know, the little pack of frozen salmon, it's about $9. Now it's usually right around $11.50, $11.75. And that's,
okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too. And as you know, I've been seeing it at the gas pump as well. So I think my impossible question is, have we seen its peak, or are we once again going to be seeing another high number next month?
Yeah, you know, I feel like a broken record because, you know, we keep hoping for this peak inflation. Given that we've seen the last month gas prices come down, oil prices come down significantly, I'm hopeful that we will have seen a peak. Like I said, the question is, how high does shelter continue to go up?
Right.
And the number for shelter was a pretty astonishing number I want to say it was over 3% just for shelter. So that's it's mind-boggling, you know, when you really look at it. I think it was actually maybe an annualized number. I think it was 0.8%. So anyway, the bottom line is definitely higher than expectations on the 1 month and continuing to hurt the consumer for sure.
Okay. When we were talking off air, you introduced me to, and I told you how much I love to learn new things. You introduced me to something I hadn't heard of, and then I feel dumb. Maybe everyone else has. I-bonds. Tell me about I-bonds.
Yeah. So I-bonds are an instrument that you can buy through the Treasury. And the I stands for inflation. Okay. And so what it does is it's paying you a number based on the CPI number. And that rate, you buy it through Treasury Direct. It's treasurydirect.gov. We can't, you know, we don't use those instruments personally. But it is, you know, backed by the U.S. government. And right now there's no actual interest rate. You're just paid on the inflation rate. So, and then they change their number every 6 months. So that number is changed in May and November. Let's see here. So they change it twice. Let's see here. Issued from May to October. So right now, the one from May to October, in that six-month period, if you buy a bond, an I-bond during that period of time, you'd be paid an annualized amount of 9.62%. And it applies for, you get, it's compounded semi-annually.
Right.
So you are paid the semi-annual rate, which turns out to be 4.81%. And then after you've owned it for 6 months, it goes to the current rate of whatever the current rate is. Now, a couple caveats. And by the way, that rate changes May 1st and November 1st.
Okay.
So that's when the rates change. But whenever you buy it, you're locked in for 6 months. And your rate will change every 6 months to the corresponding new rate, whatever that is.
Right.
So the limit of the amount that you can purchase per year is a $10,000 bond, a total of $10,000. So it's not, you know, you can't take your hundreds of thousands of dollars and invest there, but you can take up to $10,000 and you can put it in an I-bond. And so, you know, an actionable item might be that, you know, somebody may want to look into that and see about purchasing an I-bond. Now, a couple things about that. You need to hold it for 5 years. Otherwise, you give up 3 months of interest on that I-bond.
If you don't hold it for 5 years, you're giving up 3 months of interest no matter when you pull it out?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, but if you hold it for 5 years, you can take it out at any time and you got all the interest.
Okay.
So, and then it's a 30-year bond. So you can, you know, continue to hold it or you can redeem it. Now, those are all the pluses. Now, let me tell you a negative just from my most recent experience. One of my clients inherited through, you know, her mother passing away, inherited a bunch of these Treasury Direct I-bonds.
Okay.
And getting the money out is another story. So... But not just getting it out, but also transferring it. So when you have to change, so we had to change, help her change registration, right, from mother's name to her name. So it's not easy, excuse me, because you're dealing with a bureaucracy, right? It's the government, plus they're backed up right now because a lot of people are purchasing these I-bonds because the rate is so high. Where are you going to get that inflation rate? You're not going to get that in your bank account, right?
Right.
So anyway, just recognize that even setting it up is, you know, it's, you have to go online, you have to set up an account. You set up the account, and then you can choose what you want to purchase, and then you attach your bank account information, and then the money comes from your bank. So
let me ask you a specific question about the time it took to get that client her money. So her mom passes, and then you realize, okay, she's got I bonds. How long was the process from the time you got involved until she was able to register the I bonds under her name?
Well, it was months, but part of that was multiple beneficiaries and trying to. So it wasn't just one beneficiary. So, and then you have to have signature guarantees on the paperwork in order for them to process it. So, like I said, there is a lot involved, and it does take months. It's not going to be like days or weeks to get it done. But, you know, it's not impossible. It just takes some time.
Okay. We've been talking about, in general, over the last several months, the economy, even though inflation is going up, the economy doing well, service industries and manufacturing continuing to grow, job growth being stronger than anticipated, and certainly with last month's numbers, job growth much stronger than expected. And you talked about the middle of the yield curve having flattened. With all of that and all of those things positive for the economy, why are so many Americans that are being polled saying the economy is going in the wrong direction? Are we looking at two different realities for Americans?
Well, the consumer is hit. And whenever the consumer is hit with, I mean, look at the inflation number. That's how we started. So inflation is ridiculously high, and everybody agrees with that. So that's a problem, because high inflation, we don't want it to become embedded and expected, and then it becomes systemic, and then it's a real problem. So we've got to bring that inflation number down. It all has to do with too much money supply in the system for too long, and now trying to reverse that trend. And the reversal is going to be painful. There's just no way about it. It's going to be painful. So you've got the painfulness of the consumer right now with inflation. And when we look at wage growth, as much as wages are going up, it's not going up as much as inflation is. So the bottom line is the consumer is being hurt. And with our consumer running 2/3 of our economy, it's a problem. So yes, everything you said is right. And I quote all of those statistics. There's a lot of positive things about the economy. The economy is indeed slowing. There's no doubt about that either. We have a slowing economy. When we look at the data, the economic data that we're receiving, all those things you mentioned last week, a lot of good data, economic data, that can help our economy continue to kind of chug along, hopefully with slower growth. But the consumer themselves are being squeezed, and that is what consumers are worried about.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the fun portion of the segment here, and that's Twitter suing Elon Musk. And I think that when this first came out that he was going to be involved in trying to take over Twitter, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I said this is going to be ugly and it's going to end in a horrible divorce. So what happens next? How does this end? And did he rile up his hundreds of millions of followers against the company and jackhammered their product before he left?
So I think, you know, this is all just opinion.
Right. This is you and I talking here.
Yeah.
Nobody's
listening.
This
is opinion on, you know, not on the stock, but about what he's doing. I think he really wanted to buy the stock, but his mistake, in a sense, was not going through a due diligence process before signing a merger contract. And so he basically did it in reverse. I mean, he needed to do his due diligence before signing the merger. And so, you know, he's claiming breach of contract. You know, we'll see where he gets. This is all going to be a legal matter, which is going to cost both sides a lot of money. Now, at the end, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think he did want to buy the stock, but there were a number of mistakes he made. I mean, the other part is just on the financing aspect of it. He was putting his own personal financial position at risk, because a lot of that money was going to come from his other stock. So, you know, my question, Ed, is he surrounding himself with good people and he's not listening, or does he need good people around
right.
him? You know?
So right.
It's one of the two, but I don't know which one it is.
I think I'm going to shoot him your cell number. He needs your cell phone number, man.
He needs help.
He does. He needs to call you every once in a while. And just, and I don't know that you're able to answer this or anything, but again, my dumb guy question about this is that shares of Twitter plunged by like 11% yesterday, and they've been operating at a loss for 7 of the last 9 years that they've been a public company. Did this entire relationship over the last several months, the wanting to buy it, pulling out, all that, has that hurt them even more?
Well, if we just look at the whole sector of communication services, and we use a comparative analogy, I mean, Snapchat's down 80%. So you really could argue that the deal that was in the pipeline, it was helping, you know, it was helping the stock in a sense, right? And we haven't seen an 80% plunge in this stock. So, you know, all I can say is it could have been worse.
Okay. All right. Now the really fun stuff. It's earnings season, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Another quarter, another earnings season. So let me tell you what we're expecting. Third quarter, we're expecting 5% year-over-year growth, which is good. I mean, now that's coming down from 9%, and that's coming down from, you know, so the numbers are coming down, Ed, on year-over-year earnings growth, but they're still positive. 5% is not a bad number. And we think we can hold on the E side, you know, for this, the rest of the year, the second half of the year. So if we can hold our earnings, now what's going to be hit, and everything you're going to be hearing about this quarter, is profit margin. Okay. So profit margins were 13%. Those are coming down without a doubt, probably down to 10%.
Okay.
But if we can hold around 10 and we can hold our 5% year over year growth, and if we look between now and the end of the year, you know, the S&P 500, it would be showing some good growth from there. And so if we really look at those numbers, you know, we're looking at EPS estimate, and everybody has a different number. We're saying 230 to 235, okay? And if current multiples hold at 235 on the EPS, that gives us a year end of 4450 on the S&P 500. So no guarantees, no promises, Ed, but what I can say is we think our year end number in the second half of the year is going to be a different picture than we had first half of the year.
It sounds good
news for investors.
It sounds like a football coach going into the second half of a game and going, okay, we just need to play really good defense this third quarter. Am I crazy, or is that what I'm hearing?
I love the analogy. Yeah, it's after, you know, after you've been beaten down in that first half and everybody's so discouraged and everybody just wants to quit the game,
right.
Like you said, the coach coming in and saying, hang in there. You can do better. So.
Coach Gilbert. You know what?
Yeah.
Laureen, how do our listeners find you?
Yeah, wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, a welcome, clear, and concise conversation, Laureen. Thank you so very much for being part of the program
this
morning.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great week.
Great to talk to you. 8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.